this all in your precious name. Amen. Oh, and I told her she can talk as long as she wants.
That was a dangerous thing to say. Well, jumbo, everyone. Oh, it's later in the morning than that. Jumbo, everyone. One more time. Jumbo. There you go. If you were to travel to East Africa, that's how you would be greeted. That's their hello, hi, how are you? They say jumbo everywhere you go, so I thought I'd open with a greeting like that for you this morning. My name is Carla Sunderland, and I serve as a regional area coordinator with Operation Christmas Child. It's a big fancy term that just means that I'm supporting 7 counties in Pennsylvania and all the goings-on with the shoeboxes. But I'm a semi-local girl. I grew up in Punxsutawney, the big metropolis over there, and now I live in the even bigger city of Kerwinsville. So just a hop, skip, and a jump over here to Du Bois. I'll tell you, when I was growing up, Du Bois was the place to be if you lived in Punxsutawney, because you had a lot more than we did. Still that way, I believe. So when you travel to Kenya, you're going to learn that people there, half of them can speak English, the other half speak Swahili. Anyone here in this room ever been to East Africa before? No hands. Okay. So I'm going to teach you just a little bit more Swahili. Would you like that? All right. Let's learn a phrase. So let's try this one. Yesu. Anakupenda. Yeah, let's try it together then. Yesu Anakupenda. Yeah, and that means Jesus loves you. So we learned that phrase so when we met the children that weren't able to speak English with us, at the very least, we could tell them, Jesus loves you, as we handed them their shoebox. So I know a couple more phrases, not too many. You're almost as fluent as I am. If you weren't sure where Kenya was in East Africa, I brought you a little map here to show you. We stayed in the capital city of Nairobi, and we would travel out an hour and a half to 2 hours outside of the city each day into some villages there, and had a wonderful time with the children and their families. Wonderful time with our ministry partners that do all the work on the other side of the box, right? So it's just a hop, skip, and jump quick 26-hour trip to get to Kenya. Yeah, just a short flight. Everyone wants to ask me all the time, what kind of place did you stay in when you were there? Well, I got to stay in a hotel in the city area, so it was a decent hotel. This is actually a picture of the roof of my hotel. And something that I thought was interesting, as soon as we got there, they warned us and said, do not open the windows in your room, because monkeys hang out on the roof, and I found them. There they were, hanging out, and if you open your window, they're going to come in your room and steal your things. So I was sure to keep my windows very tightly closed, because that's not something I'm used to. Yeah, I took some photos as we were out and about just to kind of show you what it looks like in the areas there. So this is typically what it looked like around in the towns. Very third world, lots of livestock running loose all the time. Cattle everywhere, goats, things like that. Donkey carts pulling goods everywhere. And the ground is just really rough everywhere, the terrain. Kind of describe it as it looks a little bit like rubble everywhere, trash all over the place, and a lot of children just running loose all over the place. Very different than what we see here, for sure. I had a chance to stop and visit on a Sunday morning just to be in a service, in an African church service. Certainly a very new experience for me. I did have a video to show you inside the service, but we had some technical challenges this morning. I'm not sure it's working. We're going to have to go on by that. But if I can describe it a little bit for you, when they're worshiping, they're not standing and doing this like I was doing this morning. They are jumping up and down, and they're swinging scarves, and they're twirling. And I mean, it is a major event. When we arrived, we could hear the music and the singing from the street before we even went inside. And we were there for 3 hours. And we had to leave because we had an event to be to, and they were still going when we left. So I'm not sure how long they go, but it was quite a service to be a part of. This is a typical street market that you would see. I didn't see any giant eagle grocery stores, no Weiss, no none of those kinds of things, no Walmarts, nothing like that. If you're going to buy your produce in Kenya, this is the kind of place you'll visit. Also, something that I found was very interesting was I saw clothing for sale all over the place. Probably the biggest, widespread item that I saw as we traveled around. Something that was so nice while we were there, a couple of our ministry partners who live local traveled with us all week long. So they know the culture, so it was very valuable to us. We got to ask a lot of questions about what's going on there. And so I spoke up and I said, I see clothes for sale all over the place. And they said, yes, a lot of Kenyans will make their living this way. So if they can find a good deal on the internet, if a store is liquidating, Americans, we put our used clothing out on eBay and Facebook Marketplace and such, and they'll actually buy it up, and they'll just go out on the street, put a little stand up, and sell it very, very cheaply. So I don't want you to be confused. Sometimes when you see photos of children receiving shoeboxes, and you'll see it in some of my pictures and videos, sometimes the children are dressed pretty nice, even though they live in conditions like this, and this is why. Because there was just clothing for sale everywhere. And I was so thankful to walk into many of our places and see the kids dressed very nicely. It is Kenyan culture. If you're going to come inside of a church building, if you're going to come to a special event in town, you wear the very best that you have. And a lot of the families will splurge on a shopping trip to a place like this and buy their child one very nice item. And the ministry partners will say, if we see these kids again, they'll be in the same clothes over and over and over. Do you remember Little House on the Prairie? Mom made the blue dresses, right? And every time you watched an episode, that's what they wore to church every week. So very similar to that. So we'll talk a little bit about Kenya in particular. Kenya has fallen into a category that Operation Christmas Child calls a hard-to-reach country. So for the past 4 or 5 years, Kenya was not receiving shoebox gifts. And so we have this category, and hard to reach means one of three things. Number one, a country can become hard to reach because of the terrain. It's physically hard to reach. It's very mountainous, it's very rough, the mileage is long, it's hard to get into. It can be hard to reach for a second reason, which is spiritual opposition. Dangerous to share the gospel in that location, right? And the third reason is customs regulations. So about 4 or 5 years ago, we know what that time period was, right? A lot of countries locked down what kind of things they were allowing to come into their country. So Kenya really got tight on their regulations, and therefore our shoeboxes were not able to enter the country. So here's what happens. All of the shoeboxes that get sent out, most of them, planes or ships, but they'll be on a shipping container. And that shipping container will arrive at a port. And the customs agents there are allowed to say, I want to know what's inside every single shoebox. I want to know what the ingredients were made from. Where were they purchased? You know, all of those questions. There can be up to 200,000 shoeboxes on a shipping container. So there's no way when you pack a family box and you're out shopping that Samaritan's Purse could ever answer every single one of those questions. So in order to move past this barrier, we want to see ministry moving forward at all times, right? In order to get past that barrier, Samaritan's Purse says, what can we do about that? So BASBO was born. Does anybody know what BASBO stands for? Besides Molly. BASBO stands for Build a Shoebox Online. So you can actually go onto our website and click a link, and you can virtually build a shoebox. Right? So you'll see a picture of a shoebox, and you can drag down, you can pick your fun wow toy, you can drag down your school supplies, you can pick a couple extra toys, then you can type out a letter to the child if you want, you can upload your photo, and it's just like building your box as you would in town at the stores, but you do it on the computer. And now, someone at one of our processing centers is going to fill your order, just as you've asked, with items that Samaritan's Purse has supplied. So now we know what's in every single shoebox, and when we get to port, we can answer every single question. Are you with me? Yeah. So when we went to Kenya this year, every single shoebox was a BASBO shoebox. All these boxes had been built online. So I'm not here to say, please only build shoeboxes online. Of course not. We love your personally packed shoeboxes. We want you to continue to do that. But if you're interested in taking another step into the ministry, building some boxes online, you can build them all year round. It's just open all the time. So you can keep building them all year, and then those types of shoeboxes will enter those hard-to-reach countries for all three of those reasons. All right? So here's what happens in Kenya. So if you don't learn anything from me today about Operation Christmas Child, this is the one thing I want you to catch, so make sure you're paying attention to this. Operation Christmas Child is all about evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication. Those are the three pillars of our ministry. And without those pillars, that is just a shoebox full of toys with no eternal value. Momentary joy, right? So we're going to go through these three pillars as I take you on my trip with me, and we're going to talk about them as we go. So our first stop was the House of Transformation Church in Casa Rani, and this is Pastor Chris, and he was very excited to invite us into his building. This building here didn't look like this not all that long ago. His building sits on a previous dump site. So they had put some time, resources, and effort into cleaning up this building within this community to provide a safe and clean area for children and families to come in and hear about the gospel. So we partnered with this church and said we'd like to do a distribution here in your facility. So he welcomed us in. And I went upstairs in the church, looked out the side window, and I took some photos just so you can see kind of what the neighborhood looks like. Still a little rough out there. But wasn't the front of the building just lovely compared to this? Really working hard on that. So we went into the backyard, and what an incredible sight. About 150 children attended this event, and they had put up these big, beautiful tents to protect everyone from the sun there. However, it is June in Kenya. So you think, oh, Kenya sits right on, remember my map? Kenya sits right on the equator, and it's June, must be very, very hot. Well, we're on the other side of the world, right? So what's that mean? It's winter over there in June. So as I'm running around helping everyone, I actually have sweat rolling down my face because their winter is 80, 85 degrees. But you'll see some of the kids have jackets on. I saw a lot of people with winter hats. Winter coats, wool sweaters at 80, 85 degrees. This Pennsylvania girl was way too warm. And they chuckled at me. They thought that was funny because they were a little bit chilly. So if you ever wondered, how do I know if I should pack a hat in my box? I don't know where it's going. Pack the hat. Don't worry about that. Even in a very warm climate, you know, they get chilly if that temperature drops just a little bit. One of my favorite things, of course, other than being with the children was watching our ministry partners in action. So when you pack your shoebox gift, you know that you can trust these Samaritan's Purse trained volunteers who present the gospel message to the kids very, very well. We have a program called The Greatest Gift. So the children are gonna sit down and they're gonna listen to their teacher, and we have these big, beautiful flip boards that the kids get to watch as they're hearing the stories of Jesus, right? So they're not gonna have the technology in most of the places like we have to be having PowerPoint screens and televisions. So we supply them with these boards. And at this event, they actually had three going down the row because the event was large enough. We wanna make sure everyone can see. And they're gonna start with creation. In the beginning, God, right? And then we're gonna move on to the greatest problem that the world has, which is sin, right? And then we're going to move on through some of Jesus's miracles. Here we're talking about Jesus loves children. Look at the children just gathered all around Jesus. They need to know that. A lot of these places, children are very marginalized, so when they get to hear that Jesus loves them very, very much, that's important. Then we're going to hear about, of course, Jesus's death, you know, how he shed his blood to offer us that free gift of salvation, his resurrection, and that gift that we can spend eternity with him. So when you pack your shoebox gift, it's not about the toys. This is what it's about. So here's our first pillar, evangelism. The kids are also gonna receive a booklet. The story they just went through, they're gonna have it in their hands now to take back home, read it again, re-reference it, share it with someone else, and they get it in their own language. So I took this photo. I've been praying for this little guy. If he's going to share Jesus with someone, I hope he realizes to flip that book the right side way up so he gets his story straight. Yeah. This was my first opportunity handing shoeboxes to the children. Really don't have any words to describe what that was like for me, but it was such a joy. But something I want you to notice about this photo. You can see the parents on the outskirts of the event. And they're starting to filter in where we are. And my job was to go back to the table behind us, pick up 3 or 4 shoe boxes and go over to the appropriate children and hand the boxes down. And as we're doing that, I start to feel this tugging in my arms. And I realize that the parents are coming around and they're pulling the boxes out of our arms in desperation to make sure that their child gets a box, right? And it didn't seem to matter how many times we said, please, don't worry. We have a box for every one of the kids here. They just really couldn't believe us until they saw that. In particular, this gentleman beside me, I'm so glad someone snapped this photo while it was happening. It's hard to see his fingers, but right in front of where my hair is hanging down, his hand is pointing like this. And I can hear him because he's right beside me. He's pointing to the girl in the yellow jacket, and he's saying, my daughter, my daughter, my daughter. And his eyes are back on that table of shoeboxes, making sure that she's going to get a box. So as we left this event, we got back in our vans, and I said to my ministry partners, can you explain this behavior to me? I was not expecting the parents to be a little aggressive, pulling boxes out of our arms, and being so concerned about it. And she said, you need to understand the value of that shoebox gift. Okay? So it costs a Kenyan anywhere between 1 and 200 shillings a day to eat. So a shilling is their form of money. And 126 shillings is equal to about $1. And a shoebox can be worth anywhere between 3,000 and 5,000 shillings. That's a $35 to $40 shoebox in value. Some of you smart shoppers can do way better than that. But that's equal to about 25 days worth of food for one person. That's the value of that shoebox to them. So there's just no way people living in this situation are ever going to be able to hand their child a gift of that value all at one time. That's why they were so desperate to make sure their child got a box once they saw what was happening there, for sure. Would you like to see some kids in Kenya open a box? All right, let's do it. You know, I've been praying that those dollies made it. I don't know if they went home with all their limbs or not. Can you see the importance of that wow item in your shoebox? They open it up and they see that one thing and it's wow. And they were swinging their wow items around, very excited. You know, when a child opens a shoebox, that shoebox speaks the language of children. And God can reveal himself to them through that. Something I wanted you to notice there, you probably noticed it. We seat the children in a certain way, so we know when we're handing out boxes how to do it. So the 2 to 4-year-olds are always in the front row. And in the middle section is the 5 to 9s, and in the back is the 10 to 14s. And the ruckus always starts in the very back, because they got it before the little, they understand what they're supposed to do before the little ones. So we often had to run up to the front rows and, open your box, open your box, open your box. Many of them had never been handed something in their lap before. They really didn't even understand that they were supposed to take the lid off. Our second stop was in Machakos area, the Machakos School for the Physically and Mentally Disabled. This was both the hardest and best outreach event that I attended. I didn't know I'd be going to a place like this until the morning of. But we walked in, and of course, as you can see from the photo, there's wheelchairs and walkers and crutches and everything like that, pretty much with every child. And had you ever really considered when you packed a shoebox gift that your box might go to a child with challenges like this? Doesn't often cross your mind, probably. But we had a wonderful time with these kids. But something you'll notice in this photo, you're not going to see parents on the outskirts of this one. Because when these children in Kenya are born with these challenges, they'll often be taken to a place like this. This is a boarding school, and they live here full time. The Kenyans just do not have the resources or know-how to care for their children if there are some issues like this. So they live here full-time. The woman in the blue and white dress, that's their head teacher. Her name is Jacqueline. I really appreciated her so much as they were presenting the Greatest Gift program. What I loved about Jacqueline was she took her teacher's guide and she walked around that room and she knew exactly which students she needed to go and spend an extra minute with because she knows them and she knew who had the challenges that they needed a little more time to hear what we're trying to get across to them. Can you appreciate that about a teacher who knows, you know, this is our chance. This was her chance to share the gospel with them, and she wanted to make sure. This was so fun to open boxes with these kids. There were so many of the items they had never seen before. So we had to do a lot of showing them how to play with toys and what things were. Check out this fellow in my photo. Look how mesmerized he is by his flashlight. He had never seen a flashlight in his life. Of course, regular lights, lamps, things like that, but not his own personal light. He just was on that light. Whew. I had a moment to talk to him a little bit about the light of Jesus. There was a lot of harmonicas in the online built boxes. And our harmonicas come in a little plastic case, so they had trouble with those. We had to flip the case open for them, and we would hand them the harmonica, and they would just stare at it. And they'd look at you. They didn't know what to do with it. So we spent a lot of time going, trying to teach them to blow into the harmonica. But once they did, whoo, that was so exciting when it made the first sound. This photo is actually from another event, but I wanted to show you at the same time because you can see what he's holding up, right? It's the string to a yo-yo. He goes, "What is this?" And I've been telling everyone, if I ever get the chance to go back, I'm going to practice yo-yoing before I go because I was the worst person to try and teach these kids how to yo-yo. When they wanted to see what it would do, I'm just like, I get it down and that is it. I just can't yo-yo, so I got to work on that. But this fella here really touched my heart. You can see him sitting in his chair. He has no usable legs. His legs are all twisted up inside of his seat there. And if you could imagine what kind of item might touch a child in this condition, you know, in your mind, what would you guess that might be? So we opened up his box, and on the very top was a bright green pair of socks. And that boy was tickled to death to have those new socks. And one of my partners had the privilege of removing his old gray socks and putting those bright green socks on, and he wheeled himself around that room showing off his bright green socks that God sent him. And he was as happy as could be. I never would have guessed socks. But God knows, right? You pack your box as the Lord leads because he knows. So what I really learned here at this event was children in this particular area, if they're born with challenges like this, the family believes that a witch doctor has likely put a curse on them because witch doctors rule the roost around these areas. Or if they do believe in God, they think we must have done something and God is really, really mad at us, so this happened. And that's what they've been told by their family. So when we got to walk in that day, I praise the Lord that we had shoeboxes and we could walk in and spend time with these kids and touch their face and tell them how loved they are. What a privilege. Thank you for packing shoeboxes. The next stop was the TGJ classroom. So TGJ stands for the Greatest Journey. If you didn't know this, every single child that receives a shoebox gift is then invited to come back to a 12-week discipleship program called the Greatest Journey. Because what a failure it would be to introduce Jesus to all these children, have them accept Christ as their Savior, and then leave and say, good luck with that. Right? Do you remember what it's like? When you got saved, we were babies in that. We needed influence. We needed training. We don't know how to walk with Christ without that. So they get to come back for a 12-week discipleship program where they're going to learn the importance of daily prayer, daily devotion, and how to share their faith with others. So to me, that is the bread and butter of our program. Really, really important. So here's our second pillar, right? Discipleship. So this was the classroom. We walked into this church. This is the Kilmakimwe Baptist Church. It's the oldest Baptist church in the entire area. We walked in and the kids were sitting in these chairs with their books, their Greatest Journey booklets, and it was a very quiet classroom, very, very engaged in what they were studying and learning. And I loved that. I loved how excited they were to be there and to really engage in it. What you can hardly see in the back of this photo, in the very back corner, is a whole bunch of other children. When we walked in, they were sitting on bench seats, but they didn't have booklets in their hands. And I was immediately upset, thinking we made a mistake. Why don't these kids have books? Did we not send enough books? What's going on? How can I? I'm a fixer. I was like, how can I fix this? And what I found out was that once Operation Christmas Child came in, word got around town. Something really exciting is going on down at the church. And these are children from the area who did not originally accept the invitation to come get a shoebox gift, but they've come down now, and they're sitting in the back listening to the lessons, even without books, even without the shoebox, because it's available to them and they want to. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So it makes a big impact in a community when shoeboxes come to town. We had a lot of, oh, here, I took some more photos of how engaged the children were. I had so much fun sitting in with them and talking to them through their some of their lessons. And we actually took a break. I had a little recess. What's school without recess, right? So we had a little recess time, and we had a jump rope competition. The girls were way better than the boys at that. That's just the way it is with jump rope, right? Yeah. So where do you think they got those jump ropes? Shoebox. Right, from in their shoebox. So it's a great item to pack in your shoebox gift. But what a good time we had with them. The last distribution event that I attended was at the Christian Foundation Fellowship in the Mathry slums. So the Mathry slums are known for being the very worst slum area in all of Nairobi. So this area is dealing with gang activity, drug and alcohol problems, prostitution, trafficking, violence against children. You name it, it's on the list. Very difficult. And this is just a picture of the neighborhood there as we pulled up into where the building was that we were going to go in. And I took a photo of that just because it spoke a lot to me. You can kind of picture what kind of area we were in. And actually, when we pulled up, we had excellent Samaritan's Purse security with us. And we actually had to wait in our vans for a little bit. There was a little bit of ruckus. You know, someone in town wanted to know what we were up to, so they were coming down and they just wanted to make sure everything was okay. So once we got the okay to go in, this is the church building. And the pastor of this church, his name is Pastor Lucas. And Pastor Lucas was a street preacher in this area. And God called him one day to purchase a building and open a church. And so it took him a while, but he saved up the equivalent of about $150, and he bought this building. It's pretty rough shape. When I walked in, the first thing I noticed was the roof, how the pillars of the roof don't even come together. There's a big, big hole there, and I think when it rains, they just get wet. We can praise the Lord for our beautiful facilities we worship in, right? Yeah, this was a pretty rough building. But we went inside, and praise the Lord, look at all those kids. This is a tough area to draw children in. Really, really tough. So to get this many kids in, it was such a blessing. There was about 170 kids at this event. And again, we saw the third pillar, multiplication. So multiplication means that not only just the child is going to hear the gospel because of your shoebox gift, right? So you see, there was a little parent section there. And the parents have come in to allow their kids to attend the event. And there are some people working the event who are milling around, you know, trying to keep everybody safe or telling people where to go, and there's extra people there. So this is what we call multiplication. If you were not aware of the kingdom impact that your shoeboxes can have, we'll do a little bit of math for you this morning. For every shoebox you pack, Operation Christmas Child is tracking nearly 7 to 9 more people per box will hear the gospel because of it. So, Du Bois Alliance, 201 shoeboxes this past season. By the way, thank you for those. That's a great number. Multiply that by, you know, whichever of those 7 to 9 you want to believe in your heart. Yeah, it makes a big impact. So Operation Christmas Child across the globe sends out nearly 12 million shoeboxes every year. So multiply that by 7 to 9, right? That is huge kingdom impact. And God is using these shoeboxes to move his gospel all the way to the ends of the earth, right? And you get to be a part of that. And he tells us that in his gospel, right? Take my gospel to the ends of the earth. This is multiplication. Would you like to see these kids open their boxes? Yeah. Oop. That's cruel. That was a pretty great room to be in. The very first child that made eye contact with me when they opened their boxes, he pulled out a green spiral notebook and he was waving that thing at me like a flag. Very excited to have his own paper. This is Pastor Lucas and his wife. And as we were leaving, he climbed up into our vehicle and he wanted to thank us and say many, many kind, wonderful things. But I took this photo and I just want you to remember that face. Look at that smile. He said, "Would you please go back home and tell everyone this changes everything?" His mission field is incredibly difficult. And when you pack a shoebox and you get involved with Operation Christmas Child, we get to partner with brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are just trying to do what God has asked them to do. Yeah. If there's time, I have one more story. Molly, is that all right? Yeah? Okay. Thank you all for being so wonderful and patient with me. So I stayed a couple extra days in Kenya. Most of Operation Christmas Child went home. And I thought, hey, I may never get to go back to Africa again. I'm going to do a couple of things while I'm there. So I went on a real African safari, which was very incredible. It really, sometimes we stare at our landscape, right? And you'd get overtaken by the awe and wonderment of God and his creation. And being on a safari like that was a little bit overwhelming to me. but we also took a day and we went and visited the Maasai people. So keep in mind, this was not a shoebox distribution event. This was just something that me and about a handful of other people decided to go do. And so I have a story to tell you about this beach ball. So before we left for Kenya, I was on a Zoom meeting. We're planning the trip, and a woman on the Zoom said, "If you've never been on a flight that long, remember how long I told you it took us to get there?" She says, "You gotta pack a beach ball in your carry-on bag." I thought, that what a silly thing. Why on earth would you want to take a beach ball in an airplane? And she said, "Well, that's a long time to sit there. If your hips are kind of bothering you, it packs very small in your bag, but then you blow it up on the plane. And you can put it under your feet, and it'll kind of shift your hips a little bit. Or if you're tired, you put it in your lap and you lean on it like a pillow. I thought that was genius. So I said, I'm definitely going to get a beach ball. So about a day or two before we're getting ready to leave, I'm at Walmart. I'm grabbing all these last minute things I need to take care of and get. And I'm searching and searching the store. And you know, I couldn't come up with a beach ball. It's June. I couldn't find a beach ball. I was very surprised. So I went home with no beach ball. And I told my husband, I was like, well, I guess I'm not going to have the beach ball. I just couldn't find one. So we get up the next day, and we hop in the car, and he's taking me to meet with the people I'm going to travel with. And I said, you know, I really want to get that beach ball. I just can't get it out of my mind. I think I need to have that. So we were lucky that Dollar General has decided to open up a Dollar General just about every 500 feet across the county, right? So there was no shortage of beach balls throughout Dollar General. So I did stop at one and found a beach ball. So into my carry-on bag it went. So we get on the flight, and I have this beach ball in my carry-on. I fly the entire way to Kenya, over 8,000 miles. I never got the beach ball out of my bag. I went through all that trouble to get it, but for some reason, I just didn't feel like I needed it. So it ended up staying in my bag. So my bags are sitting in my hotel room all week while we're out doing all this great shoebox stuff. And comes the very last day. I'm going to meet with the Maasai people, and I have to take all of my stuff with me into our vans because we're leaving there straight to the airport. So we go to meet the Maasai people, and the gentleman in the photo there who's bent down, his name is Danson, and he actually had to come out to the main road and get in our van and travel down with us. Once we got off the main road, we're out in the middle of the Great Rift Valley. There, it's not roads anymore. You're just driving through brush for long, long periods of time to reach their village. So I was very thankful he came to get us because I don't think we'd ever found it. But even in order for us to be allowed to go down in, he had to accompany us. So we get out and we're visiting, we're looking around where they live. These people, they're living in huts that are made out of cow dung. And the roofs have just trash and everything they could ever find just to stuff in the roof to keep the rain out. And I'm noticing the terrain. The ground is so dry. It's like, it's dirt, but it's like sand because it's so dry. And all of the bushes and trees, there's no foliage on them really, but there's thorns and they're about this long. They look very scary. And we got out, and as soon as I got out of the truck, the first thing that happened is I stood too close to one of those trees and my hair got caught in one of those thorns. So I had to get untangled for a sec. But we're walking around their village, and I noticed they made a gate out of this brush and then also one around their goat pens to protect themselves and the goats from the hyenas that run through the camps at night. So quite a bit, I mean, they're roughing it. Quite a bit different. So something I noticed, though, as we're walking around, I see four or five kids running around, and I said to my friend, man, what I wouldn't give to have four or five shoe boxes in my hand right now. And she's like, I know, right? This would be perfect. But I did notice that there were no toys. I did not see a single toy anywhere we went. We went into several houses. We were walking around the camp. I didn't see anything like that. And as I'm, like, wishing I had a shoe box, I all of a sudden, a light went off in my brain, and I went, oh, I don't have a shoebox, but I have a beach ball in the truck in my bag. So as we're getting ready to leave, I said to Danson, I said, may I gift a ball to your children? And he said, yes. So I get the beach ball out of the truck, and I open it up, and I start to blow it up, and the kids are looking at me like this. Certain they've never seen a beach ball before in their life. And these are hard to blow up, so it was a long time of awkward waiting for me to get it open or blown up. But I get it blown up, and I was able to crouch down, and they don't speak any English. Danson spoke a little tiny bit of English. But I was able to crouch down and hand them the ball and say, Yesu anakupenda. Operation Christmas Child says a simple gift can change a life. Items that are so simple and easy for us, you pack into your shoebox and you speak the name of Jesus into someone's life. And God opened this opportunity with a silly, simple gift There's no way I could have shared the entire gospel with them. I didn't speak their language. But I did learn how to say Jesus loves you and was able to hand them a simple gift. So if you'd pray for this family, pray for that beach ball. I have no idea how long it made it. Those thorns were big, I'm telling you. It may have made it 10 minutes. It may still be there. I don't know. But I don't want you to forget the impact of a simple little gift. You know, in this beach ball, I don't even know. I mean, the journey it went on, someone told me to get it. I went to get it. I couldn't find it. Then the Lord just, like, wouldn't get it out of my mind. I had to stop at a special store and get one, so I did. And then I did ended up not using it when I thought I would. And I forgot to tell you this part. Whenever I was in the hotel, I almost threw it away because I was trying to find extra room in my bag to get home because I had to bring home a lot of Kenyan coffee, and I needed extra room. So I thought, well, I didn't use this. I'm going to get rid of it. And something said, don't throw that away. You could pack that in a shoebox when you get home. But God had a plan for it. He had a purpose for this silly, simple gift. Yeah. So these were the little guys. I actually had to teach them how to play ball. I had to crouch down and, like, bump their hand so they could see that it would float a little and they could pass it back and forth. I don't think they've ever played catch in their life. So what an awesome opportunity that was. I want to thank you for having me here today, Molly. Thank you so much for inviting me. I had a wonderful time sharing with you. If you've never packed a shoebox before, I hope this year you'll reconsider. I hope you learned something about Operation Christmas Child that you didn't know before. And if you do pack boxes, I hope you'll see them in a whole new way and realize the impact that they are having. And there are more opportunities besides packing a shoebox gift. We have area teams that work locally here all year round to make these kinds of things happen. So if you're interested in getting involved with that, I would love to talk to you about that. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Carla. That was amazing what God is doing. And being the hands and feet of Jesus, being extended throughout the world through gifts. And it just blows me away. Just the smallest things can just bring glory to God in so many different ways. So thank you so much for sharing this. And I hope this has inspired us as a church family to continue to be that giving church. And I'd just like to end this with prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Father God, we're just so grateful for what you are doing here, Lord. We're so thankful for your tenderheartedness towards these children and how this is flourishing throughout the world. Father God, I pray that you would continue to move upon us and provide for us so we can provide for others. As we have received, now we want to freely give. And Lord, we're just so grateful. I just thank you for what you're doing in Carla's life and her family and her ministry. And I pray you'll continue to just motivate us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.